Thank you very much for attending this meeting despite your busy schedule and poor weather. Without further ado, I'd like to start my presentation on consolidated financial results for the first quarter of fiscal year ending March 2011. First, the consolidated first quarter results and summary of major business segments. But before that, let me talk about the changes in reportable business segments as shown in slide 3. Effective from the current fiscal year, SBI Holdings changed its business segments in compliance with new accounting standards with respect to the clarification of quantity criteria and clarification of integration criteria. In terms of the clarification of quantity criteria, we have decided not to disclose information on the System Solutions business as a reportable segment, as it does not meet the quantity criteria. In terms of the clarification of integration criteria, it requires that operations with generally similar economic characteristics be aggregated or integrated. Conventionally, SBI Biotech and Homeostyle had been classified under asset management business and housing and real estate business, respectively. But considering that their respective operations do not share similar economic characteristics with other operations in the same segments, we have decided to exclude them. Please be advised of these segment changes in the ensuing presentation. The first quarter consolidated financial results, slide 4. As I said, when we announced the results of the previous fiscal year, we feel that we hit the bottom in the third quarter, or the October-December quarter of fiscal 2009. With that as a bottom, we are in a gradual recovery. That's what we said when we made the announcements of the results of the previous fiscal year, and we feel that that remains true in this first quarter. There still are some losses to be recorded in terms of the operating income. For example, SBI Card, as we said, we are expecting booking and provision for allowance related for a two-year period of about 2.0 billion yen max. And for the first quarter, we recorded 300 million as doubtful loans. With regard to SBI Korea Holdings, for the last fiscal year, we recorded a loss of 2.6 billion in relation to the mess up of KDIC Holdings. And for this first quarter, foreign exchange loss was recorded with a stronger Japanese yen and a weaker Korean won. For this quarter, we recorded an exchange loss of about 850 million yen, which impacted the ordinary income. And in terms of net income, Homeostyle recorded impairment loss, resulting in extraordinary loss of about 1.0 billion yen. So just when we think that the worst is over, new loss items pop up. For example, in the case of Homeostyle, it has an import business in which it sells imported products to customers. And one customer company went bankrupt during this period, and we had to record a loss accordingly. All of which added up to the results that you see there in slide 4. Still, it is our view that overall we have hit the bottom in the third quarter of fiscal 2009. Next, slide 5, segment information. As I said, segments were reclassified in accordance with two new accounting criteria. And we reclassified previous year's results accordingly as well. As you can see, we recorded profits in the first quarter in all major segments. Slide 6, changes in EBITDA, operating income plus allowance for depreciation plus goodwill amortization. On a quarter-on-quarter basis, a significant growth was recorded. Next, results of major business lines. Slide 8, asset management business. Operating revenues were up 17% quarter-on-quarter. Operating income totaled 1.1 billion yen, indicating tough situation continues. As you can see in slide 9, during the first quarter, there were 6 IPOs, which remains low. Still, we expect to exceed 19 IPOs recorded in fiscal 2009 to return to the previous level of 34 throughout this year. It all depends on the market situation going forward, of course. We are expecting 14 IPOs for this fiscal year, as shown in slide 10. Mostly overseas. IPO market in Japan is still very weak. And that's the situation surrounding the asset management business. Our competition, JEFCO, is still suffering with operating revenue of mere 400 million and operating income of 600 million yen. For the year ended March 2010, JEFCO recorded a net loss of 2.2 billion, so it is improving, yet their revenue level remains sluggish. In the case of SBI Asset Management, overseas investments that we made early on are now gradually generating profits, proving to be profitable. For fiscal 2010, we are expecting a profit of 3.4 billion yen or so. During the first quarter alone, profit amounted to about 1.2 billion yen. New Horizon Fund 1 is expected to generate a profit of 8.5 billion in ensuing years, and we are already seeing some unrealized profit. New Horizon Fund 2 has made investment into 17 portfolio companies, of which 5 have already existed through IPOs and mergers and acquisitions. Remaining 11 are to be exited through IPOs and mergers and acquisitions by 2013. SBI's unrealized profit totals 2.9 billion as shown in slides 12 and 13. As you can see in slide 14, during the first quarter, we invested 17.936 billion yen into 54 companies. JEFCO, in the meantime, invested in 31 companies, totaling a little less than 5.4 billion. We are investing aggressively, taking advantage of extremely low investment cost available today. As shown in slide 15, asset under management of SBI Group as of the end of June 2010 was 522.2 billion. Private equities alone totaled 273.4 billion yen. Next, slide 16, brokerage and investment banking. Operating revenues were up 10% quarter on quarter. Operating income was up 79%. Back in April, we thought that individual brokerage trading value would show a steady recovery, but in reality, as shown in slide 17, daily average individual brokerage trading value softened each month since April to decline by 4.6% quarter on quarter. Business environment remained weak. Yet, SBI Securities fared well in this environment, as shown in slide 18. On a quarter-on-quarter basis, operating revenues were up by over 9%. Operating income was up 44.5%, ordinary income up 58.6%, and net income up 188.6%. Slide 19 shows comparison between online securities and conventional non-online securities companies, which shows that online securities companies are doing better. Among the major conventional securities, only Daiwa Securities Group has announced results so far, and it reported a net loss for the first quarter. Nomura Holdings is to announce its results tomorrow on July 30th. Financing of a life insurance company must have been a big plus for its business for sure. But given low trading value overall, most conventional securities companies are likely to report a big decline in profit or a loss. As you can see in slide 20, the number of accounts of SBI Securities increased steadily to reach almost 2.1 million. Customer assets total 3.8 trillion yen, far exceeding others. Our market share is growing, as you can see in slide 21. Our market share in terms of individual brokerage trading value in the first quarter was 38.3%, an increase of 3.1%. And in terms of retail margin trading value, our market share was 42.4%, up 2.6%. Online securities firms all increased their respective market shares, meaning conventional non-online securities companies lost their shares. If that's the case, it may mean that we have exceeded Nomura after Nomura became number one last year. We will find out tomorrow when Nomura announces its results. We shall see. As you can see in slide 22, revenues from investment trusts continue to grow each quarter to record the best quarterly figure in the first quarter of this year. Slide 23 shows quarterly amount outstanding, and you can see it is growing steadily. Next, slide 24, foreign exchange, forex margin trading. Trading value in June was 5,215.5 billion yen. Significant trade during the months of April, May, and June to make a great profit contribution this quarter. Next, Japan Next, PTS, slide 25. With the addition of Deutsche Bank securities among foreign firms, we are steadily increasing the number of participating institutional investors. As the Tokyo Securities Exchange switched to a new system, there was a temporary drop in trading values, and that's because firms needed some time to adjust for the new connections. So momentarily, there was a slow period. But since around yesterday, July 28th, we have seen daily volume reaching close to 10 billion yen. Next, financial services, slides 26 through 29. Operating revenues were down 5% quarter on quarter, but operating income grew significantly. As already announced, performance of all three publicly owned subsidiaries have bottomed out. Morningstar Japan is doing well. Gomez Consulting turned to profitability. And SBI Veritrans kept growing profitability. The profitability never declined. Although its growth rate in profit slowed down, it's still moving upward. Morningstar Japan, as I said, recorded increase in profit after bottoming out. SBI Veritrans maintained a 10% or so growth on a full-year basis. Slide 30, housing and real estate business, finally recorded an operating income of 500 million, thanks largely to recovery in small and medium-sized properties. Operating income has been black on a quarterly basis in this business. Slide 31, SBI Life Living continued to improve in the first quarter year-on-year. Slide 32, SBI Mortgage continues to benefit from the Flat 35 product of Japan Housing Agency, the use of which is increasing rapidly. Flat 35 share of SBI Mortgage is overwhelming for the 16th month in a row. SBI Mortgage is the number one among 339 companies nationwide with a 16.7% market share. Loans outstanding was 689.7 billion yen. Next, some remarks on recent capital raise through the public stock offering implemented in June. Slides 34 through 36. Total amount paid was about 35.3 billion yen. The demand from investors was rather strong. Consequently, capital increased to 73.2 billion as of the end of June. Additional paid-in capital is 236.9 billion. Interest-bearing debt ratio is now down to 54.7% as of the end of June, and equity ratio is 30.1%. After adjusting for asset and liability accounts solely for the securities company, that is, after adjusting for customers' margin trading portion, effective equity ratio is 43.9%. Establishment of investment framework in emerging countries and aggressive investment during the decline in investment cost is what we stated as a purpose of raising capital through public offering. And in fact, we are seeing a window of great opportunity for global investments. In slide 39, you can see share price fluctuations between April 1st and July 27th, 2010. You can see that all indicators are declining, which means this is the best time for investments. Otherwise, it will be too costly. We should be investing when share prices are falling. So we will make aggressive, full-fledged investments, and some have started already. Foreign exchange situation is also favorable for us, as you can see in slide 40. We are seeing a stronger yen relative to almost all currencies, which means we can invest anywhere based on a strong yen. There already are some newly established funds, for example, investment fund with IFC Metropole in Russia, shown in slide 41. This is to be launched in August. $500,000 each for a total commitment amount of $1,000,000. It is to invest in promising private equities plus publicly traded companies in Russia. This is to be launched in August, and with weaker market and stronger yen, the environment is very favorable to start investments. Slide 42, a case in Malaysia, PNB SBI ASEAN Gateway Fund, and this is to be launched also in August. Commitment amount is $50 million. We will pay $25 million or 50%. It will invest in promising companies in ASEAN, India, and China. In Brunei, as shown in slide 43, with the Ministry of Finance of Brunei, we jointly established a fund management company. We obtained license in July. This is to be launched in September. This will be the very first Sharia-compliant fund in Japan to manage private equity funds. It will make investments in accordance with very strict Sharia rules. You may notice that the first fund is rather limited in size, but depending on its performance, we expect second fund to be promising, rather sizable, attractive to many investors. Because globally, there are very few Sharia-compliant funds that are managing private equity funds, almost non-existent, in fact. We can sell this to investors in Muslim countries, not only in Brunei, but also in Malaysia, Indonesia, and countries in the Middle East. We expect this will prove to be very attractive to many investors. In that sense, the first fund is a seed fund, so we will focus on ensuring attractive performance. Slide 44. With Jefferies & Group Incorporated in the U.S., we have a basic agreement to establish two funds for the U.S. and Asia, respectively. Jefferies SBI USA Fund is a fund toward prominent unlisted U.S. companies. Commitment amount is $150 million and shareholding ratio is 50-50. So we have put $75 million. SBI Jefferies Asian Fund is toward Asian companies. Shareholding ratio is 80-20, 80% SBI Holdings. This is the first tie-up between the two groups, but we've known each other for quite some time. Back in 1994, 1995, we invested a lot in many U.S. internet companies. But right before the internet bubble burst in January 2000, we sold most holdings in U.S. internet companies, which contributed to great performance. Since then, we had not made any substantive investments in U.S. internet companies. In retrospect, had we maintained our holdings, we may have profited from interesting internet companies, such as Google. But back then, our decision was that internet business in the U.S. was over the peak, and we should rather be concentrating our efforts in building internet businesses in Japan. With that mindset, we decided to concentrate in Japan. Slide 45. Going forward, 51.5 billion yen or so will be invested over the next 3-4 years through overseas funds. We have signed various deals in preparation for a full-fledged takeoff, and best timing for full-fledged investment has now arrived. Some decisions have already been made regarding investment into overseas financial institutions. One is Commercial Bank of Ceylon PLC, shown in slide 47. It has 190 branches in Sri Lanka and owns branches and an ATM network in Bangladesh. It is the largest private commercial bank in Sri Lanka. The foreign capital participation is limited to 10%, and we have completed acquisition of 9.99% of the shares. Net income in fiscal 2009 was 3.3 billion yen, so it is already profitable. Payout ratio is 41%, rather high ratio. Slide 48. In China, we acquired shares in non-life insurance company called Tianan Insurance Company. We bought 7.65% stake in July. We are planning to send one board member. The Chinese automobile market is now the largest in the world in terms of the number of units sold and is still growing. A large car insurance market is expected with great growth potential. And that's the thinking behind this investment decision. Another example is OB Bank, a commercial bank in Russia, which is shown in slide 49. I will give you the details later. We are going to have a 50% stake. The partner is interested in online banking business in Russia, and we are thinking of bringing in the SBI system that we have developed. We expect that this will serve to lower our overall system cost. In fact, back when we established E-Trade Korea, we sold part of SBI's system for about 100 million yen. By taking a similar approach, we are hoping to lower the total system cost on a global scale. One thing I wanted to share with you today is with regard to the new group management policy. We will be shifting from growth in size and scope to profit-oriented management as the second stage of group management. During the initial 10 years, the focus has been to expand the size to grow the scope of our business. Over 10 years ago, when I started the group, I studied complexity knowing extensively. We were expecting the arrival of the age of internet, and we wanted to build a business which would use internet as the ammunition. And we wondered what would be an organization that would best fit that new paradigm. And the answer was the complexity knowing. As you are aware, complexity knowing has two primary propositions, that is, a mass which is composed of multiple parts must be larger than the aggregate of the multiple parts, and a mass contains new characteristics that cannot be found in the multiple parts that comprise the mass. If one is to accept them as valid, then I felt that we should not start as a single company, but rather start as a business ecosystem, a new form of organization comprising of the various members of the ecosystem in order to realize a high aggregate growth potential that cannot be accomplished by a standalone company and to collectively exhibit characteristics that are not observable within each constituent company.
I decided to establish what we call business ecosystem, because I strongly believed, and I still do, that this business ecosystem is a true driver for the growth based on mutual evolution and synergy effect, which no single company cannot enjoy on its own, and that it will bring us an absolute competitive excellence in this internet era. I remember appearing on TV or radio broadcast with Mr. Matsui of Matsui Securities around the time when E-Trade Securities, predecessor of SBI Securities, was established. I advocated my business ecosystem concept while Mr. Matsui expressed his commitment to brokerage business alone. I do not think that I need to talk about what happened since then. In this internet era, it is this ecosystem that brings us an overwhelming competitiveness. During the 10 years since the foundation of our business, we have successfully established InnoGroup, an internet financial conglomerate providing securities, banking, and insurance services using internet as its primary channel. Even on a global arena, it is an extremely unique business entity. And our investment business has grown out of the Japanese market and now encompasses promising emerging markets, including Asia, where tie-ups with strong local partners provide us a well-established investment platform. We are now entering a new age as a financial servicing entity, exporting our experience and know-how in Japan to emerging countries. I think that we are now ready to stop growing. Maybe it is a bit misleading to say like this. What I mean is that now that we have completed our ecosystem for financial services in the group, we don't need to increase or create more companies. We have already created all the financial businesses, so I think that we can declare the completion of stage one. At every financial closing announcement, we have shared with you how our customer base is expanding. As of the end of June this year, we have 10.8 million customers. As internet continues to evolve, our customer base will also expand further on. The internet business entity will take a natural path of growth. Now, we are entering the second stage, and we will focus more on EPS, earnings per share. It is going to be a process where we take rough-hewn gemstone to create brilliant-cut diamond with its most beautiful sparkle among all kinds of diamonds. Some people might say that it is presumptuous of me to compare our business to diamond. Such people, I have to say, lack a strong insight about the era that we live in. If you have a strong insight, you will agree that we can certainly produce diamonds by polishing the gemstones that we have. Now, we have to start polishing our gemstones. That is what our three-year plan after March end 2011 is about, and that will be my final work. As I mentioned, at the last fourth quarter announcement, we will, in the second stage, re-strengthen the group synergy and profitability by promoting what we call Pentagon-style business management of financial service businesses. At the same time, we will transform ourselves from SBI of Japan to SBI of the world by transferring financial ecosystem to emerging countries. The theme is always profitability. As you can imagine from the term Pentagon, there are five angles, namely SBI Securities, SBI Sumishin Net Bank, SBI Insurance, and SBI Card and SBI Veritrans settlement service providers. And to be added, probably, in 1 year time period, is life insurance business, which was sold to AXA, and now we are restarted from scratch. This pentagon will be positioned as the core of our financial services. The five pieces of the core will enjoy synergy. For example, it is already seen between SBI Securities and SBI Sumishin Net Bank. SBI Sumishin Net Bank is showing a tremendous growth in a short period of time, benefiting from the synergy with SBI Securities. You already know that SBI Insurance has also grown at a surprising pace owing to synergy. In this context, we have a great deal of expectation from support businesses such as PTS or liquidity market. Leveraging more on those entities equipped with supporting function, we will find ourselves differentiated even more distinctively from the competition. With such expectation in our minds, we have been developing support business as well. With respect to infrastructure shared among the businesses, we have SBI Money Plaza, Money Look, and System Solution business, as well as TV commercials that I talked about. Commercials are certainly a part of the infrastructure. And for our overseas operation, we will export the systems, know-how, and expertise of our firmly built Japanese businesses to create an ecosystem for offshore business as well. That is my vision. Mr. Tsunao Okumura, who restored strength for Nomura Securities after the war, said that Diamond's brilliant blaze comes from its multifaceted structure with several or a dozen of facets surrounding the central facet. He used the analogy of Diamond in his business management concept. For him, each facet represented people. The idea was that multi-talented people put together their forces to recreate Nomura as a strong organization. I would like to position each facet as a business entity, an organization where people work. The 58-faceted diamond, so-called brilliant cut, which was created in Venice in the 17th century, was said to shine most beautifully among all the diamonds. It was Marcel Tolkowski, a Belgian mathematician, who proved it mathematically in 1919. As I mentioned earlier, the focus of our first stage was the scale of business, the scope of business. And in the second stage, we will focus more on profitability. I had been thinking about how many companies would be appropriate to improve profitability and about what kind of companies should bear that responsibility. And this line of thinking process happened to lead me to 58 companies. Actually, as of the end of June, SBI Group companies totaled as many as 212. It is estimated to be 216 after the end of July. The breakdown of the 216 is as follows: 79 consolidated subsidiaries, 27 consolidated unions, and there are non-consolidated company to which equity method is applied, non-consolidated subsidiaries, or non-consolidated unions, and so on. due to the change of accounting system, the unions should also be consolidated, and that makes things more complicated. Without consolidated or non-consolidated unions, the total is 163. Adding five major business divisions at the headquarters, such as Real Estate Division or InsWeb Business Division, and five overseas representative offices, including the ones located in Hanoi, Kuala Lumpur, and Moscow, the total number of entities comes to 173. Starting from these 173 companies, we went on further to narrow down the list, eliminating the following: overseas holding companies other than overseas business bases and fund management companies, subsidiaries of the subsidiaries, companies consolidated due to high equity ratio of the fund, or companies functioning as part of the headquarters, and the companies engaged mainly in asset management, or affiliated companies and non-consolidated companies which are not so important. As a result, the 173 goes down to 58, and this number reminded me of the diamond and of Mr. Okumura. And it has given me a new business idea, namely new diamond business management. Let us look at the breakdown of the 58 companies. We have 29 companies or business divisions running with profit of 16.4 billion yen as of March and 2010. But some companies are incurring losses. Most of them are new companies. Other than that, we have new subsidiaries, newly acquired companies, new funds which are not operable yet, or overseas companies and representative offices for which we made initial investment. We factor in estimated operating losses as well as headquarters operation cost of 5.4 billion yen. These losses or cost are covered by the 16.4 billion yen income. We definitely need to turn around those entities running with losses. We need to see their income increase. We might be able to increase overall income by simply eliminating red-inked companies, but by adding new companies afterwards, we would just go back to square one and we would never see our EPS improve. We knew that all along, but for the past 10 years, we have directed all our energies to expanding our business in scale and to establishing ourselves as a conglomerate. That stage is over after about 10 years of effort. Now we are launching a new stage of brilliant cut. We will apply and promote Pentagon management concept to profitable companies and divisions to increase the scope of their businesses and profits. At the same time, we will turn around non-profitable companies and divisions. And our basic principle there will be to turn around all the entities picked up for this category in 3 years' time and all the new companies in 3 years after being established. Failing to do so, we would either liquidate or sell the business. Of course, there is no rule or principle without exception. So here I'm talking about principle. There might be some exceptions, but I want to stick to this principle strictly. As to establishing new companies, we will not, in principle, establish new companies anymore. other than the ones that we are currently preparing for. With respect to M&A, we will acquire only those companies which are profitable and are likely to have a very strong synergy with SBI Group's ecosystem. Of course, if we could expect an extremely good synergy, we might be interested even in a non-profitable company. But basically, I do not intend to go against our principle. We will continue to cut headquarters cost and other general and administration cost. And in addition, we will cut fundraising cost as well. Or tax control is also another area that we need to give more thought to. We need to capture global opportunities to cut cost. All in all, our cost-cut effort will not just be simple cost-cut in HR or systems. Scanty savings here and there will not be very effective. If we have to cut systems cost, we should do so by applying Google's new way of thinking, new paradigm, for example, so that such a cost saving will be an effective one. We have been using Microsoft because of SoftBank relationship. But if Google can offer us better prices, then why not use Google? We would not mind. We will review all the cost items and everything, including what is now part of our internal system, could change. Of course, having said that, as a financial business entity, we need to focus on safety aspect of the system. So something new and cheaper doesn't replace what we have today overnight. Although it will be a sensitive exercise to find a good balance, we will carry out some fundamental review. With respect to overseas fund business, we might establish new funds in Brazil, Indonesia, and Africa, for which we are finalizing negotiation. As to India, it has turned out that our current local partner, State Bank of India, is not really appropriate for private equity business, and we are not satisfied with them as our financial source either. Therefore, we are seeking a new partner there. So there will be some changes coming up, but in principle, we will not establish any new funds other than those we are completing negotiations for. We might invest in Fund 2 after the investments in Fund 1 is completed or is being completed, or we will reinvest money from the existing funds into new ones. To plant our business ecosystem, we will make minority investment at around the same equity ratio level for Tianan Insurance in China, namely around 10% or 20% at maximum. Our overseas organizations will be held responsible for their own profits. Representative offices in Beijing and Shanghai, for example, will be locally incorporated and be held accountable for their profit level. The managed accounting regime will be applied to representative offices to rigorously control their profit. Our overseas organization is rapidly growing, and we need to put in place a global compliance system. Overseas administration and overseas human resources management should be further enhanced. It will certainly increase our cost, but it is something that we must do. Some of our businesses have already turned around within 3 years after the start. The first example is SBI Sumishin Net Bank. Its operation started on September 24, 2007. Other online banks such as Japanet, eBank, and Sony Bank had been operating since 2000 or 2001. Back then, people told me that I came too late to be successful, starting a new online company in 2007. But SBI Sumishin Net Bank showed the fastest ever growth, and as of the end of June, it has 820,511 accounts and deposit balance of 1,234.6 billion yen. As of the end of June, the number of our accounts did outperform that of Sony Bank. Our outstanding balance of deposit of 1.23 trillion yen is rapidly catching up with 1.5 trillion of Sony. With this pace, we will be able to overtake Sony very soon. Loan business of SBI Sumishin Net Bank is also growing fast. Its accumulated housing loan amount exceeded 500 billion yen. While it took Sony 6.5 years to exceed 400 billion yen level in outstanding housing loan amount, we achieved the same threshold only in 2.5 years as of the end of March. Sony's housing loan balance stands at 555 billion yen. SBI Sumishin Net is growing its housing loan business from 422.3 billion at March end to 465 billion at June end. We are confident that we will outperform Sony here too. SBI Sumishin Net Bank turned around in fiscal year ending March 2010 with 2,329 million ordinary income. In the first quarter of this fiscal year, we achieved 696 million yen. We aim at exceeding 10 billion yen of ordinary income in the fiscal year 2012. SBI Liquidity Market, FX OTC company, started its operation on November 17, 2008. They obtain rates from about 20 Japanese and non-Japanese institutions and provide them to SBI Securities and other clients from whom they receive orders and execute them. Not much time has elapsed since the start of its operation, but it already generated operating income of 3 billion yen in fiscal year 09, and in the first quarter of fiscal year 2010, 770 million yen. Next, I'd like to talk about non-profitable subsidiaries. We must turn them around in 3 years. First, SBI Insurance, which started operation on January 16, 2008, will be turned around in 2 to 3 years. SBI Card is expected to be profitable in 2 years. G1 Credit Service, which was acquired only recently, will be turned around next fiscal year. Its company name will be changed to SBI Credit in October this year. KTIC, which became our subsidiary on July the 6th this year, will turn around within this fiscal year. Already in the first quarter, it produced positive profits.
SBI Global Investment is a sister company of KTIC. It became our subsidiary on the 1st of June and is expected to become profitable by the end of this fiscal year. First, turning to non-life insurance, this business is growing with increasing speed. Contracts from prior years are not canceled, but renewed. Every year, we are adding new contracts, incremental to the existing contracts. As most of the contracts are renewed, cumulatively, the number of insurance contracts increases at an accelerated pace. For the term ending March 2011, which is this fiscal year, Our target is around 11 to 13 billion of direct income of insurance premium. When direct income of insurance premium reaches 22 billion, we should be able to post profit. That is what we anticipate. I am certain that we will be able to become profitable in the next 2 to 3 years. Once the business starts to generate profit, the number of insurance contracts will keep on growing. Brand awareness is also increasing. Therefore, we believe that non-life insurance business will expand steadily. I believe it will be relatively easy to make 5 billion profit from this business after it becomes profitable. Number of contracts is now over 170,000. In this fiscal year, we aim to attain 300,000 to 330,000 contracts. Next is card business. For quite some time, card business has been sluggish, but we obtained Visa card license in February 2009. After entering into business alliance with GEO, issuance of GEO Ponta Visa card was started in June. In November, all GEO shops throughout Japan will start accepting GEO Ponta Visa card. SBI card will be relying on this business to a large degree. We will be able to provide loans to Ponta members. Ponta's targeted membership size is 30 million. It will be achieved before long. That membership covers Lawson, GEO, and Showa Shell customers. 30 million Ponta members are potentially our customers, and we would like to accommodate them as much as possible as our customers for our financial products. We planned to build in various cross-sales recommendation services in our system to capture customers. In 3 years, we aim to acquire 1 million accounts in card business. Currently, there are 77,000 card members. Some might think 1 million is impossible. I'm often told that what I am planning to do is impossible, but in most cases, I have managed to realize what I said I would achieve. Next is G1 Credit Service. We acquired this business from Gulliver, a company in the business of purchasing used cards. We have entered into a comprehensive business alliance with Gulliver in October 2009. As a part of that alliance, we acquired G1 Credit Service in July. The company will be renamed SBI Credit in October. G1 can offer affiliated loans and insurance products, including auto insurance. We believe it can contribute to our profit, to our core business, in many different ways. This fiscal year, 700 million operating loss is projected from this company, but the projection for the next fiscal year is 300 million operating profit. We think that this business will grow rapidly. G1 Credit Service is already contributing to auto loan business of SBI Sumishin Net Bank, and the degree of contribution is rising. In Korea, we acquired control of two companies. Originally, we made investment of 2.6 billion in KTIC Holdings, the parent of these two companies. But the founder and his son misappropriated the company funds and used those funds to manipulate the share price. It was a sheer absurdity. We had to incur losses last fiscal year on 2.6 billion invested. But we turned even this incident to our advantage. Seizing this opportunity, we acquired the control of the two subsidiaries of KTIC Holdings. KTIC is a pioneer in venture capital in Korea. In 1986, it was established as the first ever venture capital in Korea. It had nurtured around 10% of the companies listed on KOSDAQ. Since its establishment, IRR for investors was 17%. It was an excellent company. However, somehow the management lost sense and this incident occurred. In the end, after going through a series of litigations, we acquired the control of the two companies. They are now under our complete control. KTIC is investing Korean government money in various ways. It is a well-known company that had made a major contribution to the Korean society in the past. In many ways, we believe it was worthwhile to have acquired this company. The other is a sister company of KTIC. Both are listed on KOSDAQ. They are public companies traded on Korea's KOSDAQ market. We have renamed the second company SBI Global Investment. Its former name was KTIC Global Investment Advisory. This company also has now become our group company. Through these two companies, we are able to make joint investment. SBI is the biggest venture capital in Japan. And now that we have acquired these two companies, we have the biggest venture capital in Korea within our group. We can make joint investment through various funds that we established. For example, we may want to acquire or invest in a Chinese company together. This type of business becomes possible. This is hugely significant. Investment may come from Korean or Chinese or Malaysian company and also from the top venture capital of Japan. The share prices of the invested companies are more often than not likely to rise. SBI's acquisition of these two Korean firms is already much talked about in various quarters. In this manner, we can make joint investments through various regional funds that we have established. And jointly, we can do a major acquisition deals through these funds. Because of the turmoil, the performance of KTIC in 08 and 09 was markedly down. But in January to March quarter, it is already on a course for recovery in both operating revenue and operating income. It is not yet reporting a large profit, but it has turned around and become profitable. SBI Global Investment is expected to report profit, although it has not been audited yet. We were able to overcome the most difficult period and turn these companies profitable. As this indicates, we are turning loss-making companies profitable and profitable companies even more profitable. We are focused on this. At the same time, expenses are slashed. There is a famous saying, it is better to remove waste than to start a new venture by Yelu Chuchai, the advisor to Genghis Khan. It is better to remove waste than to start a new business. The companies that continue to make losses for many years should be sold or liquidated. But of course, there are cases where a company is not profitable on its own, but is making synergistic contribution to other core businesses. Core business profitability may be pushed up as a result. In that case, such companies may be allowed to keep operating, but otherwise, loss-making businesses should be sold or liquidated. In those loss-making companies, there are employees who are working diligently, and when I consider liquidating such a company, I am always concerned about the plight of these employees. I tend to be rather paternalistic and let the companies continue to operate. That is my biggest weakness. I am fully aware of this shortcoming, but it is not easy to change. However, I decided to harden my heart and to take a decision of selling or liquidating. When a company must be sold, employees of that company must also go. In the past, for example, we may have absorbed some of the people in other businesses, but we will no longer do so. If a company is broken, it must be liquidated together with its people. Jobs will go away with the company. I believe I have to be very clear-cut about this. My intentions and determination are very firm. We have continued to reduce SG&A. Through various measures, we will continue to push down these expenses. Furthermore, we may also have to consider other measures, for example, tax saving and what needs to be done within the global framework. We have to give careful consideration to these matters. Building profitable overseas business structure is the next topic. As I mentioned earlier, we are building our presence in Asia through establishment of liaison offices and other organizations. By introducing managerial accounting and by turning liaison offices to local subsidiaries, we will transform them to highly profitable organizations. For that purpose, we will reorganize head office overseas business division. When we enter markets outside of Japan, we plan to start with banking business. This is in order to improve profitability. Banks are profitable shortly after investment, or investment may be made to banks that are already making profit from the start. We have acquired a stake in Tian Phong Bank of Vietnam. It is already reporting profit, albeit a small one. We have 20% stake. The bank is growing rapidly. It is impossible not to grow as a bank in Vietnam. There are only about 40 to 50 banks in a country with a population of 86 million. Naturally, the bank will continue to grow even faster. In Cambodia, we have established a new bank with 40% equity. This bank turned profitable in the second year of its business. Our net banking business became profitable in 2.5 years, and these banks in Asia have become profitable at a similar pace. OB Bank in Russia is already posting profit. We have agreed to acquire 50% interest. We will first enter a market with banking business and expand into securities and insurance businesses. Basically, we plan to follow this rule. We will transform ourselves from SBI in Japan to SBI in the world. Within the next 3 years or so, we hope to achieve this goal. Originally, we wanted to achieve this target in 2013, but because of Lehman Shock, it may have been pushed back a little. Nonetheless, we expect to become a global group in 2013 or 2014. In biotech, we are beginning to see some profits coming from our companies. Turning to SBI Biotech, where many candidate drugs are entering clinical phase of development around the world, preparation is underway to take the company public. In terms of business profitability, we have much to expect from SBI Alapromo. In April 2008, this company was established as a joint venture with Cosmo Oil Company Limited. It started with skincare business such as face cream and hand cream. The business is rapidly expanding into nutritional supplements and pharmaceuticals. ALA, A-L-A, is used as a diagnostic agent for malignant glioma. The substance ALA is administered orally, and when blue light is applied during surgery, brain tumor sites glow red. It is said that brain tumor has high recurrence. The rate of recurrence is about 70%. However, with this diagnostic, since tumors are glowing red, all the tumors can be removed. With this, recurrence can be reduced by about 30%. Gleolan has already been approved as a drug. German company Medac has obtained approval in 10 countries in Europe for the use of ALA under the product name of Gleolan as intraoperative diagnostic agent. We have a joint venture with Medac. We can introduce the compound in Japan from phase 3 of clinical trial, which we are planning to do. It came to light gradually that Gleolan can be used as intraoperative diagnostic not only for malignant glioma but also for bladder cancer or colorectal cancer. The research will be continued to firmly establish this finding and to expand indications. We have even higher hopes for Alapromo. As we are gradually discovering, it appears that ALA is also good for diabetes. At a certain university in the United States, clinical trial with about 500 patients enrolled is ongoing. This is for the purpose of obtaining approval as a nutritional supplement rather than as a pharmaceutical. We have started development as nutritional supplement first, since pharmaceutical development is more time-consuming. First, we will focus on development of ALA as a nutritional supplement with an eye toward bringing this compound to the Middle East, where incidence of diabetes is high. In the Middle East, the medical cost is paid not by individuals but by the government. We plan to sell ALA to the government, which in turn can provide the supplement in lieu of diabetes drug to its citizens. It can also be used for prevention. Therefore, the government's medical expenditure can be curtailed. Those are the plans we are contemplating. We see huge potential in ALA. In SBI ALA Promo, we have 85% equity while Cosmo Oil has 15%. Another equally promising business is Quark Pharmaceuticals, in which our group has an equity investment of 36.02%. Quark is developing prophylaxis of delayed graft function and acute kidney injury. In the near future, with a certain pharmaceutical company, we may enter into an agreement based on milestones, potentially at a significant sum of money. We have also granted exclusive license to Pfizer for an eye drug, namely a drug to treat wet type AMD or age-related macular degeneration or for diabetic macular edema. This drug that is licensed to Pfizer is now in phase 2A. The phase of injecting the drug in the eye or the treatment phase is complete. The analysis is conducted to check and follow up on patients for 3 to 6 months. If the results are favorable, the development will advance to phase 3. After the start of phase 3, we may decide between the options of either selling the company or taking it public, or there may be other options before that stage. This is a company in Israel, and the team there is pressing to go public in Israel. Although the valuation in Israel is cheap, to park money temporarily, listing may be a good option. There are many options, and we are carefully considering the next step. Eye drug valuation is much higher than other drugs. There is a huge market. That is why I have high expectations. In July, agreement was reached with Nitto Denko to develop siRNA drug for fibrosis. License agreement was reached. Quark has about 5 promising drugs in development. Another company, Acucela, is also developing an eye drug, in this case for dry type age-related macular degeneration, rather than the wet type AMD drug developed by Quark. In a joint development with Otsuka Pharmaceutical, phase 2 trial has already started. So far, we are in a very good position. The drug is given fast-track status or accelerated review status by the U.S. FDA. When the U.S. military was in Vietnam, there were many veterans who later lost eyesight. This was because of strong UV ray in Vietnam, causing damage to the eye. Westerners who often have less melanin in eyes, especially those with blue eyes, are vulnerable to loss of eyesight. To prevent this risk is important from a military perspective. The risk of damaged eyesight increases with the advancement of age, but at a younger age among Westerners. For example, in UK, people typically don't use fluorescent light. The lights are dim, but for them, it is sufficiently bright. When I was studying abroad, I felt the rooms are dark. I was much used to brighter fluorescent lamps. Westerners' eyes are more vulnerable. In any event, mammals have vulnerable eyes. In primeval age, to avoid being stepped over by dinosaurs, the human ancestors were mostly nocturnal. Even today, mammals have sensitive eyes. Many mammals are colorblind or cannot distinguish different colors. I think human is the only mammalian species that can identify full spectrum of colors. Dogs see only black and white. The human eye is delicate. The market for eye drug will be expanding even larger globally with the aging of the population. That is why we are focused in this area and have invested in these companies. We are investing in very promising business. We may not be holding for the long term. These are investments. If it becomes necessary to realize profit early, partial sale or divestiture may be a possibility.